are listening to Girls Gone Wad. I'm Joy.
And this is Claire.
And we're already laughing.
Yeah, it's already been a fun time today, guys.
This is episode 6.
Yay!
Woohoo! And today we are talking about ego.
Dun dun dun.
Dun dun dun, which is why I think we're already laughing, because this is going to be pretty interesting.
Yeah, hopefully. But first, I want to talk about my water bottle. Because right now, my water bottle is full of coconut pineapple water. How do you call that?
And it's a concoction. So good. It's a cocktail. It's a cocktail.
This would be really good with some booze in it, actually.
I think.
But if you are like me and you feel like you've missed the entire boat on the coconut water fad, because everyone's like, oh my God, coconut water is so hydrating.
It's so amazing.
And you're going to become a tropical goddess just by purely drinking coconut water. And you want to you really want to like it, but you just think it tastes like a foot.
I think it tastes like hair.
It's awful. It's not good.
Which is what I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not,
not
sure
that I eat my hair,
yeah,
but like, yeah.
Where you point of reference.
I just drink it and there's something weird about it.
It's just not good. But so then we were at the CrossFit Games. We were at Whole Foods because, you know, what do you do other than in the sweetest Whole Foods? And this guy was doing a demo, you know, the little old ladies, they hand out samples. But it was like this young surfer dude.
Yeah.
And he was sampling this, what's it called, like evolution something juice.
Uh-huh. And they had. Is that the one that's at Starbucks?
Yeah. Okay. So then they had it. So they sold it at Whole Foods in California, but they only sell it at Starbucks in Colorado. So I tracked it down at Starbucks. I actually went to Starbucks on my way to Black Eye Coffee the other day. Because I was like, stopped at one coffee shop to go on my way to another coffee shop to pick it up. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing and it's so good, but it's like $6.
And you've posted it like 5 times.
So if you follow me on Instagram, you already know what I'm talking about. But so today I went to Sprouts and I bought my own coconut water and my own pineapple juice and I made my own mix and it's just as good, which is good because sometimes you like try to make it at home, it's not as good.
Yeah,
but it's just as good.
Claire let me taste it and it's quite refreshing.
So if you hear some ice cubes tinkling clinkling clinkering,
speaking of peeing,
if you hear some ice cubes, that's because I'm hydrating myself with coconut pineapple water, and I would highly recommend that you do so as well. Anyway,
it is really good.
It's so my new favorite thing.
That's a little tip of the week from Girls Gone Wad.
Seriously, I'm obsessed.
Yeah,
as you probably can tell.
I'm going to start drinking it this week because it was quite refreshing. Yeah. It is a nice little cocktail.
It is.
Maybe
it's so tropical.
Yeah, I feel like I'm in the islands.
Other things that are tropical right now include Joy's outfit. She's wearing orange sorbet colored shorts. That are terry cloth? Are those terry cloth?
They're a little terry. You know, I've had these probably for 15 years, as you can tell by the ripped hems.
That's amazing.
Yep.
And her shirt, is that from Target?
Yep.
And it's
Target tee. It's a Target Massimo tee.
Let's see here.
V-neck.
What colors are
and the shoulders are a little tight.
Lilac?
Shoulders are kind of ripping out.
A little bit.
Yep.
Yeah. It's like light purple, light green, blue, and yellow stripes.
Mm-hmm.
I think she looks like a Flintstones push-up pop.
Yeah.
If you guys remember those.
Claire just came over and she walked in. She goes, you look like a Flintstones push pop. And she actually made like the gesture of a push pop. And I about wet my pants laughing. I was laughing so
hard. I hope you guys know what I'm talking about. Like an ice cream truck.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Totally. I think we should have a segment every week about my outfit because clearly I'm wearing questionable things.
Apparently, maybe we need to start recording at my house so that you get dressed.
But you are
wearing like makeup. So it's not like you didn't get ready this morning. Are you not wearing makeup?
We're minimal right now. Oh. This is minimal.
But you look like you're wearing like a little bit of makeup.
Tiny bit.
On the other hand, I almost never wear makeup. I haven't even tweezed my eyebrows. Can you see my eyebrows from
here?
No, I
can't see them from here.
They're incredibly, they're large and in charge. I haven't even tweezed my eyebrows this week. I only washed my hair one time this week.
Oh.
Yeah,
do that? Okay.
I just have really thick hair.
Yeah.
So I can just brush it and then it just kind of like gets shiny. I mean, I like shower and like wash my body because otherwise I would be just like smell horrible.
Uh-huh.
But sometimes that happens too. Sometimes I smell horrible.
Well, the other day when we did our wad together, before I came over, Claire was like, I smell really bad. I'm just warning you. And I was like, I can't wait.
It's going to be awesome.
I can't wait to smell you.
Anyway, okay. So now that we've officially tangented for the first 5 minutes, let's talk about egos. So we had, Joy was saying, we had a really fun opportunity this week. We don't usually get to work out together because Joy goes at the butt crack of dawn.
5:30 a.m. people.
Yay.
Rise and shine.
And I go at the end of the night. So we go at 7 p.m. So we're at opposite ends of the spectrum. But this week, Brandon was coaching one night, which was for 400. The WOD was 8 400-meter repeats, which, like, just nobody wants to do that. So I texted Joy, and I was like, you have to come when Brandon is coaching, because I was worried that no one was going to be there a little bit. But then a ton of yeah. people end up showing up, then so I didn't have any reason to be worried. But so Joy came in and did the WOD with us, and it was – so the point of the WOD was not to get the fastest time. Like, that was only part of your score. Your 400 time was only part of your score. The other part of your score was the total deviation. So really the goal was to come in at exactly the same time each lap.
Right.
So I was actually surprised that I was able to do pretty well, other
you
than on like
ass.
One of them,
you
where I
like ass. You were
10
like a,
seconds
what
out
did
there.
Brandon called you like a metronome? Because yes. you were just like second. What? Were you on time or a second?
I was either exactly or 1 second off, except for that one round where we had like 8 seconds off. We sort of had like a, I was sort of in like the peloton of the running group also. But anyway, but so Joy had a little bit different experience, mostly based on her desire to win the lap.
I just want to win. I'm going to break this pen in half just talking about it.
But it didn't even start with the laps. It started with the warm-up. And Brandon even called you out on it. What did he say?
Oh, my God. It was so funny. We were just doing warm-ups, and I don't know how I was so fast. I really was, like, waiting for everyone to be done with the, you know, skips across the room or whatever we were doing. And Brandon was like, look at you, warm-up winner. And then Claire's like, we're going to talk about this in the next podcast.
Because she was like we were doing like knee hugs, you know, where you like walk down and back across the gym, you know, kind of stretching out your hip by hugging your knee to your chest. And Joy was like powering through it. And I was walking next to her thinking, there's no way she's getting a stretch out of this. Like, she's going so fast.
There's no way that those legs are getting stretched.
Yeah, no. But I mean, I don't know. I don't really feel like I have a ton of, I mean, I have a little bit of an ego when it comes to CrossFit, but because I'm not very good, my ego is mostly like, hey, I finished. Everybody's happy and excited. And so, like, I don't have as much of a base of comparison with myself, like, for with a lot of other people in the gym. Because, like, I know that by this point, I've learned that I'm not going to beat them. So, like, I'm not even going to worry about it.
Yeah. But how are you in other areas of your life with ego? Because I feel like it kind of goes across the board.
So that's the other thing, is that I'm super non-competitive.
Yeah.
I'm competitive with myself. But, like, when it comes – and I think this is why I never got into sports before – CrossFit, I just don't care that much. Like, mm-hmm. if someone else is doing something, that's awesome. And mm-hmm. it does not affect me in any way. Like, I know that, you know, like somebody else's success does not make my success more or less valid.
Right.
So,
right.
like, it doesn't really bother me when other people do better than me.
Yeah.
And also, like, I don't know. I also just don't really put myself in positions very often where I'm actually competing. Like, I don't sign up for competitions very often. Although,
hey,
we are now signed up for two competitions this fall that are back-to-back weekends.
Yeah, back-to-back weekends. That's, and I'm doing the fossil games in a couple weeks, which we'll talk about.
Yeah, but...
this is the old people games.
Which is hilarious.
30 and over, people.
Yeah, that doesn't really seem like old.
I know, but...
anyway.
That kind of made me mad.
We can talk about that. But anyway, so, I don't know. I just don't really go there in my mind. And so, like, it doesn't really occur to me. Like, especially at CrossFit, it's kind of like, I'm here doing my thing,
mm-hmm.
and like other people are here doing their thing, and that's kind of the extent of it.
And I think it's a really good perspective to have. I saw a lot of the comments on Facebook where people were like talking about how they don't have the energy to focus on what other people are doing.
Totally.
So they're like, I would rather put my energy into what I'm doing and just do the best that I can and not concentrate on what anyone else is doing, because then I'm going to lose focus.
Right.
I wish I could do that. I really wish I could do that. And I knew we were going to talk about this today, and there was a part of me that's like, I don't want to talk about this, because it really just kind of puts it out there that I suck. My ego completely sucks at this stuff. Like, it is so bad.
Yeah.
And it's, like, a little vulnerable to say, hey, guess what? Yeah, I am totally thinking of other people when I'm doing my WODs, and I'm totally competitive. And I will let it ruin my day. I'll let it ruin my day. Like, if I look at the whiteboard and I, like, someone did better than me, or, like, the next morning I'll come in and I'll be like, freaking, so pissed off that someone beat me by, like, 20 seconds.
Right.
Yeah.
That's probably a good thing that you don't come at the end of the day, though, then, because you would just, like, beat yourself up the whole beginning of the WOD. Like, oh my gosh, how am I going to beat that time?
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty bad. It's not a pretty side of me.
That's so interesting. Have you always been that way?
here's the thing. We were talking about growing up, and, you know, like in the first episode, mm-hmm. I talked about how I was a dancer and it was safer in groups and that type of thing. I think that's why I stayed with, like, the dance and the group sport stuff, because I couldn't deal with, like, the pressure. So then mm-hmm. I think as I got older, and especially just starting CrossFit, I'm like, where did this side come from? So right. maybe it's, like, an old side of me that never got to be expressed. I have no idea. But here's the other thing. In other areas of my life, I'm super competitive. Mm-hmm. And I'm super driven. And I have to be the best at this, and I have to do the best at that, and I, you know, right. So I think
I think, though, that there's a subtle but important difference between being driven and being competitive.
Yeah.
Because I think that you can be goal-oriented, and that, you know, it's like, I think that a lot of people, you know, especially when you bring this up in terms of CrossFit, people also always say, you know, like, there's definitely a line between comparing yourself with someone else in a way that's going to push you, that's going to, like, make you realize, like, hey, I can do that. You know, like, maybe you identify with someone else who you work out with a lot, who you know they are, like, right on par with you in their speed and their strength. And so if they're going to go 10 pounds heavier in a WOD, it might give you kind of a check of, like, okay, you know, if they're going to go for it, I can go for it. Like, I need to stop being such a wuss or whatever. Or, you know, like, if they're heading out the door first, you're trying to be right on their heels. But, you know, versus, like, getting to a point where, you know, like you're saying, like, it ruins your day, or getting to a point where you feel like you didn't accomplish what you went in there to do, you know, even if you did, even if, like, you know, deep down you know that you couldn't have done any better, you convince yourself, like, oh, you know, like, I sucked, that was terrible.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it's like, I don't know.
Is that really necessary, you know, right. to do that to yourself? And I know someone else commented on Facebook, and they said that they use it as inspiration. Mm-hmm. You know, if someone does, because I think the picture we posted was, like, if your friend does 10, right. you know, beats your PR by 10 pounds, you're like, oh, no, she didn't. and they use that as inspiration instead of...
Well, and I think that that's...
feel bad. So yeah. It's like, which way do you go? And I know myself well enough to just be totally honest that I have a hard time with letting someone beat me. Mm-hmm. Or not letting, but, like, someone beating me.
Right.
Yeah, do I turn it around and say I'm going to use that as inspiration to be better? Sure. But, like, the first reaction tends to always be critical of myself.
Yeah, the first reaction isn't like, wow, that's so great, I wanted to go try to...
Totally.
Yeah, it's like, it's what totally, the F is wrong with
it's
me.
It's totally what the F is wrong with me. And there'll be times, like, there was this one girl at Jay, our gym, and I don't think she's there anymore. I don't want to say her name, just okay. in case. But I swear there were times where I'm like, she's cheating. I just knew it. She's cheating. She's cheating. She's the one who copied my post.
I know who you're talking about.
Yeah. So when she copied my blog post, I was like, oh no, she's cheating in every area of her life. I knew it. I knew she was a cheater. And that's not a pretty sight either, because who the F cares? Like, who cares? So, I mean, it's definitely just, obviously we all have crap that we have to work on in our lives, and I tend to overanalyze everything, but it's just one of those things where I'm like, yeah, this is something I know about myself. I know it, and I just need to be better about it. And celebrating, I want to do the best I can to counteract that side of me by celebrating everyone's successes, because truly that's the only way to go. It's the only way to, like, really just live life. Who the F cares if someone beat you? Come on, Joy. You know, but there is that just natural reaction that I'm working on that, you know, you want to kind of get over.
That's really interesting. I don't know. I feel like there is also, you know, a balance. Like, I don't, when I get, you know, if somebody beats me in a WOD who I feel like I'm, you know, usually perform better than, I definitely will have that knee-jerk reaction of, like, what the F is wrong with me? And sometimes that's valid. Like, sometimes you have an off day and you want to, like, go to that, you know, kind of recognize, like, wow, something is going on right now. It's like, something is, but, like, that's not, I don't know. There's definitely a balance. And I think that there's not ever a time where it's a good idea or healthy to think, like, you know, to basically think, like, I suck, and, you know, like, why wasn't I able to do that? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I must just really suck, and I must just, like, you know, really not be, I don't know, I guess, like, kind of just getting critical of yourself to that point.
But I remember you writing about this on your blog, is you've definitely had days where you're, like, mm-hmm. really, really down. Not, you don't ever get really down, but you've gotten critical, and you've gotten frustrated. And I can't remember if it was, like, trying muscle. I can't remember what move it was, but it was something that you wrote about, and that you had it was probably, like, a year ago.
It was probably, like, wobbles.
It was a long time ago. I want to say even before you renamed your blog, but it was just something that you kind of struggled with in your life.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, I totally have days where I'm like, where, you know, especially with a skill that I've been trying to work on, or with running, this happens all the time. Where, like, so we were talking about the 400 repeats after that workout, Brandon hadn't done the workout, and he's, you know, he's such a runner that I basically told him, like, listen, I'm not letting you, you know, leave today without having done this. So we stayed after and I timed him.
Yeah.
And by the time he was done, I was just feeling really good. And I was like, you know what? I want to go for a mile. Like, I want to try to PR my mile time. So we head out.
I cannot believe you did that, by the way, after... After 8 400 repeats, I cannot believe you did that. When you guys texted me you did that, I was like, you guys, what, did you get home at 10 at night?
We did. We got home at like 9:30. But so we head out and we're going along, and I felt like I was running as fast as I possibly could go. Like, I was not sandbagging at all. Like, I was in it to win it.
Yeah.
And we get back, and my previous fastest mile time was 9 minutes, basically 9 minutes flat, which we'd run on the, what we lovingly refer to as the J track, which is the 400-meter lap around our gym is on, like, a massive hill.
It's not ideal. It is not ideal. Yeah. There's a lot of corners. And there's a lot,
like,
of falling.
A lot of families riding, like, a lot of little kids riding Razor scooters everywhere. Yeah,
it's an obstacle course.
It is totally an obstacle course. It's an adventure race.
Yeah.
So we didn't do the laps. We did, like, the one where we, like, go up to Spear, like, hard left at Spear. So, like, a lot of it is downhill also.
Yeah.
Like, it's not, like, it's a much easier thing to do than to run four hundreds.
It's the overachiever.
And so when we got back, and my time was, Brandon was carrying a stopwatch, and he ran with me because it's, like, a little sketchy to run down there by yourself at night.
Sure.
And so we hit the stopwatch, and he was like, 8:48. That's awesome. And I felt so, like, oh, like, I felt like I was going so much faster than that. And, yeah, you know, to, and, like, 12 seconds is a pretty big difference, but, you know, having not really tested my miles since this winter was the last time I did it, and, you know, being on an easier course, yeah, and it was just like, and, you know, so there still are definitely times where I feel like, oh my gosh, like, I really expected more out of myself. But typically, I think the difference is that that reaction is rarely, if ever, based on the performance of someone else.
So you're saying it's just because of you. It's you within you.
Right.
You're,
it's competing, like, within yourself. I expected more out of myself. Yeah. I didn't expect myself to beat Andrew, as it may be in your case.
I'm always trying to beat Andrew.
We know.
And every other boy, for that matter, in my class. Ugh. Well, that's where it started. I feel like when I started CrossFit, I started it with a group at work. Mm-hmm. So before I even joined a CrossFit box, I had started doing CrossFit unofficially with some guys at my office and, like, our little gym at the office. And I don't know. When it started, I just immediately felt like I had to beat everyone in that class. I had to come in first. I don't know what happened. I wish I knew why. My ego took over, and then it became kind of like this, this pride that I had that I was beating all the guys at my office, and I was just like, this is awesome. And then, so I had to keep that streak going, and then, like, just the crazy thoughts that keep going mm-hmm. in my head and the rules that I had made for myself that I had to do it. So then, you know, when I decided to join a CrossFit box, I had, like, the same mentality. It was like this competitive edge that I knew I was, like, getting better at it. So I was like, I have to be better and I have to do well. And while I think it's good to have that within yourself, like you're saying, I really transfer that to, like, the people within the class. So,
yeah,
you know, TJ will always, or the gym owner will always joke with me that, you know, it's just the warm up and you don't have to, you don't have to win the warm up. Those types of things are, I remember doing, we did a scavenger hunt. It was, like, the first spring after the gym was open. So it was,
a year ago,
uh-huh. just over a year ago, we did a scavenger hunt. It was a Saturday WOD, and our Saturday WODs tend to be group WODs.
Right,
so
they're
you guys,
team or partner.
Because there's a larger number of people that go, and our gym's a little bit smaller. So we accommodate that by doing team WODs. So TJ had made this really cool scavenger hunt. Do you remember this one? I don't think you guys...
Literally,
yeah,
literally, like, the week before we joined.
Yep.
Because I remember seeing him post about it, and we weren't there yet.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we did a scavenger hunt, and you split up in groups of, I think, 3 or 4 or whatever. And so you had, like, this sheet of paper. You had to go mm-hmm. around town and do these exercises. So it was, like, run a mile to the... And you really didn't know exactly where you were supposed to go. There right. were, like, hints of, like, go to this restaurant, and this is what the kind of food they serve. Well, in that area, there's, like, 20 right. different restaurants. So I was like, I don't know. We're, like, Googling it on our phone. And I remember at one point, I was just... Oh, Andrew was on my team. I totally remember this because Andrew was mad at me. We were running a lot. I think we ended up running a cumulative 6 miles throughout the entire... That was separate from the actual workout we had to do. with each station, and it ended up taking us like an hour and a half. And I just remember running really fast, and the guys, and I was like, come on, guys, because it was me and three other guys. Mm-hmm. And I remember the guys running behind me, they're like, Joy, you know there's no, like, trophy at the end of this, right? You know that we're not, like, gonna get, like, first place prize or anything. And I'm like, yes, we are! We have to win! Yeah.
That's the thing about Saturday workouts. They don't even usually write them on the board. No.
Like, which totally frustrates me. Totally frustrates me because I'm like, what's the point? What's the point? We don't have a score? What are you talking about? Like, that drives me crazy. That's awesome. I'm like, we work so hard and nobody gets to see
it. Nobody even writes it down?
I'm so ridiculous.
That's hilarious.
So I totally remember that. Yeah. I was like, they were just totally making fun of me that
there's no trophy.
There's no trophy at the end of this, Joy. You do realize that. How about just, I think, the men versus women thing, too? Of
yeah.
How do egos present with chicks? Because I was thinking about this, too, about how just, I don't know. I think women face a lot of different pressures, and I think the pressures we put on ourselves, that may play into it.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, you're coming from a really different place than I am, because I am not at a skill level where I'm competitive with many of the guys in the class. And so, you know, especially, like, in terms of weight and in terms of everything, really. Like, I, you know, occasionally will beat people, but it's, like, if it's in double unders, effectively is the only movement that I'm, like, kill it every time. And so...
How many did you link last week? Did you link a million?
A million?
Yeah. Oh, didn't we have to do... Yeah, no, did you do the... Did you do Friday's WOD? Friday was where you just kind of do...
Oh, as many, okay. No, we didn't.
That's when I texted you about linking all those double unders without peeing. 110.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. I think my top ever is 65.
Well, I was at 83, so I was just
that's
like...
That's a big PR.
Well, Cody, who's the double under king, was next to me, and he did 160-something. Oh. Ridiculous. I think I kind of just
fed off of
his energy, but I was really excited because I didn't pee at all.
Nice job.
And I thought I would at some point because I was like, for sure this is coming. For sure I have to experience this at some point. And then I told Claire I felt left out. I was like, I feel a little left out that I'm not like peeing during my double
unders. Don't worry, Joy. It's not. You don't have to feel bad about being left out of this club. Anyway. But no, I've only ever done 60 or 65. But for me, it's a tangent a little bit.
Yeah, sorry.
Unders. For me... My limiting factor with double unders is my cardio. I get to the point where, like, I just can't breathe anymore. And so that is, like, I could double under. Like, I could jump up and down as long as I want. But
yeah.
Anyway. What was I even talking about?
Oh. We were talking about females, yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know that I necessarily get caught up into men versus women. I do think that, you know, like, I feel really good about when I finish a WOD earlier or if I have a skill that I feel is stronger than another dude in the gym, like if I have better kipping pull-ups or something like that, I feel good just because it's kind of like, hey, you know, I'm putting the work in here and you aren't. And, you know, this here goes to show that you can't just muscle your way through everything.
Right.
So in that sense, I like it because I like kind of being able to show up and be like, hey, you know, like I put in the work and you didn't and that showed. But I don't know. It's not really like a boys versus girls thing. For me, right, as much.
But what do you think just in general?
About the way...
Because I think guys maybe... I would assume, and they probably just don't talk about it, but I would assume that guys are more competitive.
I think they talk about it even more. And I think... I definitely agree with that. But I also think that there is so much more of like a direct comparison, like the ability to directly compare themselves, you know, that like they can... Look, you know, there's what, maybe there's 100 people at the gym and maybe 30 of them are girls. Like, that's a probably pretty generous estimate.
Yeah.
So there are, you know, like, I go to classes all the time where if I'm not the only girl, there's, like, one other girl there. And so do you. I mean, you know, it's just you and Christy mostly in the mornings, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And usually in the evenings, it's, like, me and Krista or me and Ilsa.
Actually, we have a lot of girls. We have Kate and Malia. We have a lot of girls in the morning class. Yeah.
Yeah, no, the 5:30 classes are dudes.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah. I mean... Whatever. We always actually, the evening classes make fun of the morning classes for being, like, teacher's pets. Whereas, like, you guys show up, like, you know, you have to be so driven just to even get up at 5 a.m.
We're so teacher's pets. Yeah, it's a little ridiculous. Like, we have to set the stage for the day. Coach Mike's always like, you guys are setting the bar. That's the other piece where I'm like, yeah, I have to set the bar. I have to have the best score ever.
Yeah, no. By the time that Mike gets to the 7 p.m. classes, he's like, so, I'm going to just, you know, I can't remember if I already said this or not. No, I mean, he's great. You know, the other totally. Day, but like, he's, it's, you know, he's not.
It's 7 at night. I mean, right? It's 5:30 a.m.
He's taught for 10, he's been coaching for 10 hours.
Yes, yes.
But no, I think that men are definitely competitive. And I think also that in general, women, and this could be, you know, coming as a man, it's hard for me to compare. As not being a man, it's hard for me to compare. Since I'm not a man, not as a man. Did I just say as a man?
And I thought you were kidding, so I was just going with it. I was like, no. All right, Claire, here's what, yeah.
Since I am not a man. Oh, my God. We're going to edit that part out. It's hard for me to compare. But I think that women in general are more supportive of each other, kind of knowing, you know, like you're sort of in this like unspoken sisterhood of like, you know, we're the chicks in CrossFit and like we need to kind of, you know, stand together because like we already kind of feel in a way like we're not supposed to be here, but like, you know, that we're already kind of like going against the grain just by being here, just by lifting weights, just by.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Which makes me feel even more of an idiot when my ego takes over because I'm like, we are the chicks of the gym and we should support one another and cheer each other on. Instead of compete. I mean, there is that fine line where mm-hmm. we talked about where you can, where you're competitive enough, where you're trying to, that you inspire one another, but right. another, but that's a choice that you're allowing to let it inspire you.
Well, and it seems like though your ego is more fueled by dudes. Like you want to beat the dudes.
That's
it's
true.
It's less about the girls.
This is very true.
Yeah. So like when we were talking about the 400s workout, so if you fluctuated in your pace by more than 5 seconds on either end, so if you went 5 seconds faster or 5 seconds slower, you had to do burpees. How many rounds did you have to do burpees?
Just one.
Just one?
Just one, but which is surprising.
It was pretty much because you chased that other guy down.
I chased the other guy down, which was so frustrating because he was behind me the entire time, yeah. all for almost full, the first six that we did, he was behind me. Mm. And then there was one at the end where he passed me. And I'm like, oh, no, you're not passing me. So I was trying to keep up with him because I'm like, well, surely if he's passing me, then I should be ahead of him because yeah. our times are paced that way.
Yeah.
And I don't really understand what his technique was and why he was doing that. But I think, yeah.
Yeah, that's the one but where we got off of it. I was in front of the pack. But it wasn't that wasn't really ego as much as it was like, where did the strategy come from?
Where did the strategy? And then we all relied on each other. And what was so helpful, and I think, well, two things. What I'm guessing that WOD came from is maybe inspired by Rich Froning and the pacing. I don't know. But I thought that was really, really cool of just paying attention to how you pace yourself. And when Brandon was like, when Brandon was coaching us in between, he's like, listen to your body. This is such a good practice to see how other people influence you and influence your workouts. And I was like, yes. So I was like trying to get in the zone and just listen to my body and listen to my breathing and just like figure out what's going on. And that was such a cool WOD where I thought it was going to be torture to run 8 400s. I really liked it because I was thinking, oh my gosh, I'm going to be so tired. But then we had a minute, 90 seconds in between each one.
Well, you had like 3 minutes.
Oh, well, yeah, I forgot that. I thought everyone had an equal amount of rest and no. Okay, so.
That was 90 seconds from when we got there and you had already been there for like a minute. I was like, well, this is fantastic.
I'm really tired.
Yeah.
But I appreciated that so much because I really don't think of it that way pacing your WODs. How much does that help? And I felt a huge difference by the end and just kind of knowing where you are when you're running and then allowing other people to kind of get into your space.
Yeah.
So where's the line with that? You know, when you're doing a workout and like some of the people have said on Facebook is I think focusing on other people's performance can really screw you.
Yeah,
you know?
Totally.
Whereas use it more as inspiration and to push yourself instead of where are they, what are they doing?
Yeah.
But I catch myself doing that all the time. Like if we're doing a WOD and we're like getting ready to do handstand pushups and I see someone doing the two plates, I'm like, well, I need to do the two plates.
Right.
Well, I can't do two plates, you know, for like a 21-15-9 type of thing.
Right. You could do like one or two.
I could do one or two. Yeah. So then I'm like, Joy, you're being an idiot.
Right.
Do what you can do and focus on that instead. Mm-hmm. And then I'll get pressure from some of the people in my class of like, oh, you could totally do it and you should.
Yeah.
And I get there's that balance of yes, trying it, but also knowing, saying,
right.
Yeah, I'm not going to last with good form. And that's the other thing. I don't want to like half-ass form.
Well, and also I think the thing, like when it comes down to that kind of, you know, like deciding how hard to go, deciding what to modify, what not to modify. I think that part of it is saying, you know, okay, well, if this WOD is supposed to take 10 minutes, I could technically do it RX, but it might take me 30 minutes.
Yeah.
At that point, it's a totally different WOD for you.
Totally.
Then it, you know, like we did Fran last week, and Mike was like, you know, I want you guys, you know, like even if you think you could go RX, if you don't think you could finish in less than 10 minutes RX, I want you to scale. He was like, because if Fran is taking you more than 10 minutes, it becomes a strength workout, whereas it is supposed to be, you know, like the Metcon to end all Metcons. Like, yeah. It's not supposed to be a strength and skills workshop, which is what, like, a 25-minute Fran turns into.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, in general, like, it just is kind of comes down to what, you know, obviously what your goals are with it. Like, another example is one of our blogging buddies, Jennifer from Wine to Weightlifting. Uh-huh. She did Grace a couple weeks ago, and she posted on Facebook. She was like, you know, I'm not really sure what to do. My max clean and jerk is 100 or 105, or maybe it was not even 110. And they were doing Grace tonight, and I know I could do RX, which is 95 pounds. You know, but I've, you know, I've already worked out. Like, today's supposed to be my rest day. You know, what do you guys think I should do? And I basically said, you know, like, even if you were totally fresh, you know, doing 30 clean and jerks at more than 90% of your one rep max is a lot to ask from your body. And, like, yep. You know, personally, I wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
And she, you know, went ahead and did it and had a great experience and, you know, ended up doing, I don't know what her time was, but ended up feeling, you know, being really happy with her decision to do it. But personally, I don't think I would have gone for it just knowing, you know, like, this is going to be a very different workout for me than what it's supposed to be. I would rather do it at 75 pounds and, you know, finish in 4 or 5 minutes and, like, have the burn that you're supposed to feel as opposed to do it at 95 and finish in 15 minutes. And at that point, it's just become a clean and jerk, you know, workshop for me.
Right. And that's a really good point. I remember Julie Bauer from Paleo MG talking about mm-hmm. that in one of her posts and saying that she was scaling to do that, where you're just not going all out and maybe even risking injury.
Right.
To where you feel really good during your WODs.
Mm-hmm.
So I think to just kind of keep that in mind of where's the line of also burning out and not being able to do the workout and the movements throughout the entire mm-hmm. WOD versus doing it faster and then kind of maybe having better form. I don't know.
There's a huge balance. I think you have to decide, you know, the other day Brandon did Amanda. He did RX and it took him like a half hour.
Oh yeah.
You know, whereas like Amanda's supposed to take like maybe 8, maybe 10 minutes. But for him, you know, he just wanted to know that he could do that many muscle-ups, that he could do that many snatches. And, you know, he went into it knowing, I'm going to epic. You know, this is going to be, like...
I'm going to epic this WOD.
Yeah, that's a thing. That's a term. Oh, epic is totally a verb.
I like it.
Anyway, so I don't know. I think that also definitely your ego plays into that because, you know, we luckily have not had very many people or anyone really at our gym get seriously injured. And I think that is a reflection of awesome coaching and
right.
of coaches. You know, I've had TJ at one point, you know, in the middle of a WOD say, come up to me and say, you know, I'm taking some weight off your bar. You know,
yep.
like you clearly can't safely, you know, finish this WOD with the weight you have in your bar.
Yeah.
And, you know, at first that stings a little bit. It's like, you know, who are you to say that I can't do this? But it's like, actually, you're right. You know, this is not, what I'm doing right now is not safe.
Yeah.
And that particular one was a clean and jerk WOD. And I was just slamming myself in the chest with a clean.
Yeah.
It was like basically, you know, anyway.
Yeah.
But
I think that's, as we're doing that, I just feel like it's important to know that you shouldn't, when I'm doing a WOD and we're starting to put weight on, I will sometimes look at what other people are doing.
Mm-hmm.
And if the girls are doing RX, I'm like, well, then I'm doing RX or
right.
vice versa. I think if the guys are doing RX, so say it's, you know, I think what is Fran, the guys are 95, girls
yeah.
are 65. I'll ask the guys, are you doing an RX? And then they're like, yes. I'm like, okay, then I'm doing RX. So a lot of times I probably wrongly
mm-hmm.
Kind of base my weight off of that, where I think it really is something that we should be paying more attention to what we can safely do.
Yeah.
And I'm not stupid about it. I'm
right.
not stupid about it.
No,
but there are times when I'm like, when I definitely take that into consideration and I'm like, well, if everyone else is doing it, then I should be able to do it.
Yeah.
I did injure myself in November.
Right. You had a little, you tweaked your back, right?
Yeah. Pretty bad. And
really?
It wasn't, I was probably, I probably didn't lift anything significantly heavy for a month and a half.
Oh,
like,
wow.
Really. That's and I was kind of off the radar about it, but my ego was so tanked after that experience.
Really?
So I was doing and here's the other thing is I was doing a back squat and I was doing 165 pounds and I think we had moved up to like 170 or something. And I pretty much thought I was bulletproof. I thought mm-hmm. I was bulletproof. I thought it was like, I can't get hurt. I'm really strong.
Right.
So I remember it was 5:30 in the morning. And that was probably the first mistake of, like, not warming up properly. And probably just nothing against the coaches. It was probably me that
right.
just kind of thought, oh, I'm good, let's just get this going. And so we had jumped, I think we had jumped weight from, like, 130 to 160 really fast because we were running out of time. So
And as opposed to thinking, like, oh, I'm just going to make it to 150 today.
Exactly, yeah. exactly. So it was just a number of things that kind of came together where mm-hmm. I know, like, looking back, I'm like, yep, never doing that again.
Right.
So I just pushed myself up out of a back squat that it just, my back popped and mm-hmm. it just strained a muscle really bad. Luckily, nothing, you know, structural. Lifelong. Yeah. yeah. And so my chiropractor was like, she was laughing because she's like, I never thought I'd see the day where you would come in with a back injury because yeah. you're so strong. But it was just something really stupid. Wasn't warmed up, jumped way too fast. And I was out for a good month and a half where I could still do workouts, but the weights and my ego was so bruised. I honestly yeah. was like, I'm not doing CrossFit anymore. Because I was like, right. this is so stupid. And that was like what I had to tell myself to like get over it, which is really immature. But that's what I had to tell myself to be like, I'm just not going to do this anymore, yeah. which is the stupidest attitude. Like, you know, when you get hurt, you just keep going and you get right. better. But for me, I was like, this is dumb. I don't want to do this anymore. Right. CrossFit is stupid and I got injured and people shouldn't be doing CrossFit because they get injured. And I had like these horrible, horrible, like self-talks with myself. And anyway, so yeah. obviously I got over it, mm-hmm. but I thought for sure, because I'd never had an injury like that before.
Right.
I thought for sure, like, this is just the end. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to be like one of those old people who just like hovers around like with like ice on their back 24/7.
Right.
Obviously it's not happening. Right. Like, obviously I'm okay. I'm okay now, guys. I went through a rough patch. Don't try to back squat at 5:30 a.m. and don't try to like be a badass.
Restrict yourself a little.
Rein it in. But whatever. I mean, lessons learned. I think I'm not bulletproof. You know, and to respect, that was the other thing. I was like, respect the sport.
Mm-hmm.
Respect it. Stretch. Warm up, especially if you're doing early classes. Take mm-hmm. extra care in warming up. And now I'm better.
Right.
And now I'm improving. So.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah. And I think CrossFit does get a bad rap for, you know, having people lifting heavy weights, and, you know, everyone says, like, oh, you're, like, when I tell people I do CrossFit, they're always, like, oh, you're a physical therapist, you know, job security, and, like, you know, oh, how many times have you been injured? I'm like, I haven't ever been injured. The only two times I've been hurt in the last year were because I tripped and fell on my face on the sidewalk while I was running. Two times. Once during a WOD.
I remember that Instagram post, too.
Oh, yeah. Once during a WOD, and once just, like, because I went for a jog on my own, and I was, like, feeling good, and I was, like, yeah. keep going. And then I tried to avoid a sprinkler, and I ate crap in my face and couldn't walk for 3 days.
Yeah.
But people are, like, oh, CrossFit's so dangerous. Like, no, you know what's dangerous is the sidewalks in the Highlands.
Yeah.
But it's just, like, you know, it's not any more or less dangerous than anything else, as long as you have, you know, the proper coaches and do it the right way. But, like, inevitably, especially when ego comes into play, a lot of people are going to put themselves in a position where they're not doing something smart.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what it comes down to.
It's so true. It's so true. And mm-hmm. I think people need to know that too, especially if you're new to CrossFit. And I know we covered that in one of the first episodes, is if you have coaches that are pushing you to do something that you're not comfortable with or you feel like you should,
right.
and don't let your ego play into it. So, I mean, we were lifting last week, and I think it was front squats. I can't remember. Or overhead squats, because I remember you PR'd. And I remember them saying, you know, this is how you bail. So always have the knowledge right. of how to bail out of it, because yeah. you don't ever want to be in it and not know how to bail properly.
Right.
And
even drop just, it on your head.
Right, or drop it on your head. And those are the things that I think we need to just be okay with. And for me, my mistake and lesson learned was that I wasn't. And I was like, right. I'm going to push myself up out of this. And
right, you didn't want to be that person who just dropped it and said, I'm good for today.
Oh, just thinking about it makes me cringe, because it was so uncomfortable. It was so uncomfortable. But yeah, my chiropractor always talks about that, where she's like, yeah, as long as people do it safely,
right.
you're fine. Anything yeah. safely. Yeah. She's not like talking about how she only treats CrossFitters now. Right. She just kind of jokes with me because she thinks I'm insane. She's like, what insane stuff are you doing this month? And I just go for maintenance. You know, I'm not going because I'm injured all the right. time. So
if you need a maintenance chiropractor, though, like,
I know,
you need to have a certain kind of lifestyle to even initiate the need for a maintenance chiropractor.
It just feels good.
I have a maintenance massage therapist.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway. Not that much of a snob. And I like her. I just like to see her. Oh, she's a great girl.
We used to go to the chiropractor when I was a kid all the time. Like, my dad would take us to the chiropractor before the normal doctor.
Yeah.
Like, I've been to the chiropractor, like, for, like viruses.
For colds.
Oh, yeah.
Can you guys just crack this out of my nose?
Yeah, exactly. I, like, had heartburn. He took me to the chiropractor. I broke my foot once, and he took me to the chiropractor. I don't know.
Oh, I gotta meet your dad.
Oh, he loves the chiropractor.
Well, okay, we should have another episode with that where we interview. Maybe my chiropractor will come on the show because she's awesome. And it's not, not to go off on a tangent, but we should talk about how chiropractors are not, like, in it for the money and having you come back all the time, because I don't rely on her by any means. I just go because I feel like it's good. It's good. it's good maintenance and body care. So I'm not much of a massage person, but that's how you get your
self-care. Yeah, I like, and my massages are covered by health insurance.
So are mine.
Which is awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, at least they will be until I turn 26 and I have to go it alone in the health insurance world.
Oh, Claire.
You know.
To be young. To be young. You guys, oh, can I say one more thing, too? I'm entering my birthday season.
Birthday season. When is your actual birthday?
My actual birthday is September 10th.
So what are you, what are you?
I'm going to be 36.
Are you a Libra?
I'm a Virgo.
Virgo. When is Libra?
I have no idea.
Virgo. What is a Virgo? What is a Virgo? What do they do?
Pretty much me to a T. Mm. So very type A, very detail oriented, high anxiety. No. Oh, okay. Good perfectionist, competitive, like all everything. Yeah, all those funny things that you're like, oh yeah, that's me. so I get really excited about birthdays. I love birthdays, and so I kind of start celebrating like a month in advance. And
okay, so you're a twin. So we're both twins.
Yep.
Did you feel like totally gypped for like the whole first 18 years of your life that you never got your own birthday, or did you love it?
Well, you have other siblings.
I do.
So I have
so many other siblings.
You got nothing but brothers. And I have just my twin brother. So never knew really the difference of anything but just having a birthday with your twin. So I kind of was over obsessed with twin birthdays. Like, I love it. And I always cry when I'm not with him, which is almost every year now because he lives on the East Coast. But I'm pretty much a fan of sharing a birthday.
It's fun.
Yeah. I feel a sense that the opposite is true for you.
No, I liked it but I think I liked it for different reasons. I liked it because we got to have co-ed sleepovers.
Oh. Like in middle school. Can we talk about really quick, did you ever like have him find out what boys thought of you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I always did that.
Yeah, I mean, you had a...
That was a built-in spy.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Across enemy lines.
Oh, it was awesome.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and then you kind of... Once you go into junior high and high school, you're kind of like a... this show, it's almost like you're this, what am I trying to say? Like, people think like you're...
specimen?
Yeah, you're like this special specimen because you're twins. Right. So people are always like, do you sense what each other are thinking?
Oh my gosh,
like,
if I had a dollar for every time someone asked me that stupid question. So like, if he's really upset, can you tell? Like, no, people, I cannot tell.
Nope.
You are ridiculous.
Nope. And don't ask if we're fraternal or identical.
That's like, oh my gosh, you have a twin brother? Are you guys identical?
Yep. Dumbest question you guys can ask. And I know people aren't twins. You guys don't like know the difference, but you can't be
identical. Here's what identical twin means. It means everything about you is exactly the same except for your fingerprints.
Yep.
Everything.
Everything.
All the parts are the same.
Yep. All parts. All so parts
if
included.
If you have a twin brother and you're a girl, you can't be identical.
Yep.
When we were babies, people used to ask my mom that. They would say, oh, are they identical? And she would say, until you take their diapers off.
So no, that's a little fun fact of the day for you guys who have twin friends, or if you have friends who are having...
Learn the difference between fraternal and identical. Right. They will appreciate you for it.
But I thought that was like the coolest thing.
Yeah.
Is, you know, when you're in high school and you're like, find out if so-and-so likes me. Yeah. And that was like an inside spy. It was so great. Or then you'd be like, you need to become friends with this guy and invite him over.
Exactly. Yeah. Or like, so what are you doing this Friday? Because you need to invite, you know, whoever over and tell mom that it's your idea. But
all the schemes of being a twin. It was so much fun. So, unfortunately, I will not be with my twin this birthday, but...
You were there last year, though, right? You were in...
Last year, yep. I think so. I think a week before. But, my brother's name is Jay. Hi, Jay. Jay and Joy. And he's awesome. He's the coolest kid. So, I am just kind of thinking of ideas for birthday celebrations. Or at least just kind of how to celebrate my birthday season. I call it my birthday season. And I love birthdays. I think they're so great. Maybe I'll let TJ Maybe I'll let TJ. Maybe TJ will let me program a birthday wad.
I did Cindy on my birthday last year.
Did you?
Because I thought I would pick a benchmark that I could do every year on my birthday and see if I got better at it.
That's a good idea.
So, you know.
Maybe I should do that. Let's talk about that.
We'll come up with a good one. Maybe like Jackie.
Yeah. Or listeners, if you guys have an idea of what I should do
for a good birthday one. How old are you going to turn?
36.
So you could do like, 36 something. I don't know. We'll come up with something good.
Okay. And my birthday is September 10th, so 9/10. I was born in 77. Go. Use those numbers. Go. All right. So before we end today, we are going to just send some love out to you guys for all the amazing comments and reviews you're leaving on iTunes.
Because
more excited to read what you guys are saying. Today's comment is from Rachel. She says, Claire and Joy are hilarious. Let's just start out by saying that.
Thanks,
Rachel.
I love you.
These two are enthusiastic about CrossFit, which is great. But what really makes me love this podcast so much, besides their love of booty shorts and Mean Girls references, Regina George, is their intelligence. These girls are smart and funny, a lethal combo in my book. More than I can count, I have literally LOL'd over something they talk about. Conversations about body image, the CrossFit Games, and Christmas Abbott are just the tip of the iceberg when it comes to what these ladies talk about, and I can't wait to hear what they say next. If you're not sure whether or not to give them a try, take my word for it and just Nike it. I kind of like that new term. Just Nike it. These are two girls I'd love to have a sleepover and drool over Rich Froning's biceps with. Amen, Rachel.
Deal.
Let's do it. Keep it up, Claire and Joy. Thank you, Rachel. And if you haven't yet left a review on iTunes, you can do it. You have plenty of time.
Oh, but her sleepover comment brings me, I want to throw it out there, Denver area women, that Joy and I are thinking about hosting a CrossFit Girls Night.
Yep.
So if that's something you'd be interested in, please let us know.
Yep.
And let us know what you would want to do or when you'd want to do it. And, you know, if you're not in the Denver area, if you would want to come to it anyway, that'd be fine.
That would be amazing, too. We just want to connect with you guys. It's just so much fun to connect with the CrossFit community, especially women. And boys, we love you, too.
No boys allowed, though.
No boys allowed. We just need to drool over Rich Froning's biceps, and you guys are just going to get in the way of that, and you're going to get jealous. Do we want to talk about tanks at all? Mm. We're ordering tanks. We've had some requests to have a Girls Gone Wad tank.
Yeah, we hear you, but we also... are a little bit limited by our ability to, so it's like pretty expensive to order just like a dozen. You have to order like 100 for it to really make it worth it. So we're going to post on Facebook this week and get a poll going about who actually would be interested in buying a Girls Gone Wild tank top. And so if that's you, please let us know. Please let us know what size you would be interested in. And we will hopefully get those ordered here in the next couple weeks.
All right, guys, that wraps it up. Have a great week. We love you.
Yay.
And we'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye.